Hollywood is the only profession where you can fail upwards. Radio Drome. It's another Thursday night, early October. It's Radio Drome. I am Josh Hadley. With me is Alex Panty Snifferjowski.
Smells good.
As well as Cecil Tom Servo.
I am but my picture is Crow.
That's why I made you Tom Servo. Before we get into tonight's topic, I'm not going to make Cecil do the Adam and Eve promo as I threatened to last week. And
yay.
Why? Because it's changed. Got a message from Adam and Eve this week. If you go to adamandeve.com, you use the promo code DROME, now you get 10 free gifts. You'll get a surprise for her.
10? 10?
You'll get a sexy Madness. Surprise for her, a specialty toy for him. I'm assuming that goes in the butt. A third little something that Adam and Eve thinks you'll both enjoy, plus 6 full DVDs, and free shipping on your order in the United States. All for using the promo code DROME at adamandeve.com. 10 free items for going to adamandeve.com. Can you beat that? You can't.
I know what you can beat.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some beating done once your items arrive.
So, at least 10 times.
Tonight, what we're going to talk about is sequels we never got. Now, maybe this is sequels we never wanted. Maybe this is sequels we were promised. And by promised, I mean maybe sequels that were announced or the movie set up for a sequel that never happened for a variety of reasons. But the sequels that don't exist, in a couple of these cases, they kind of do. I'll get into that in a minute. What is your pick for the sequel you are so pissed you never got?
No, I haven't. Can't think of a sequel I'm pissed. Oh, yeah, I can. Unbreakable 2.
Was that actually promised, though?
Oh, yeah. M. Night was talking it up and everything, but then his career kind of stopped.
I know what you're going to think, but I actually wanted the real Starship Troopers 2, not the Starship Troopers 2 that we got.
I did like the Starship Troopers 2 that we got, though, but I
see. No.
Say.
It was good, but by comparison to the original, it was supposed to be the continuation there. And not, I mean, Starship Troopers 2 was, it was cool, but it was a very, very, very
Brenda Strong stole that damn movie.
Smaller movie. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Tippett, it was very cool to have him direct, but again, it's like, I really would
He's
have
gonna
rather.
Do that. Give him a goddamn budget.
Yeah, because they gave him, like, no money. I think $90 million that the first one got. And, yeah, so I wanted what should have been Verhoeven's Starship Troopers 2 as opposed to Tippett's True 2.
And my pick would be what actually kicked off this idea for this episode. I was watching the 1988 version of The Blob the other day. The ending, it's set up for a sequel. It's set up for what looks like a pretty cool sequel that we never got because The Blob was technically, financially a failure. Made a little bit past half of its budget back theatrically, so there's where the technical part comes in. It made 4 times its budget back on video and cable. So why would they not make a sequel to the 88 Blob, especially because it was critically well received outside of the theater after the fact? Why, instead of this long threatened Blob remake that they are just determined to do, why not make a sequel to Blob 88?
Well, because remakes are the thing. Remakes and reboots are where it's at. Like, you have a better chance of getting your reboot off the ground. Wasn't it Decker who he had been fighting for years because he wanted to make the sequel to Monster Squad? And the studios were after him, and they're like, if you want to do a reboot of the Monster Squad, we're behind it. But if you want to do a sequel, nope, nobody's going to finance you. And that's freaking ridiculous. It's with the Blob sequel, I absolutely would love for them to continue it.
Especially if they got Darbar to come back and write the script.
Oh, absolutely. If they got him and if they went practical with the effects again, because there's really no reason that they... I mean, I know they would want to do it all CGI because there'd be all this crazy shit they could do. But think of how much creativity and coolness they could do with the stop motion and with the practical effects now. They really would be able to do some awesome stuff. But
you could still get Shawnee Smith and Kevin Dillon, I'm sure, relatively cheap, too, to come back.
And honestly, I mean, Shawnee Smith still looks good, and she's not that old. And Kevin Dillon, he looks about the same, just, you know, he doesn't have the mullet anymore. If they wanted to goof, they could have him grow the mullet back. But yeah, I'm sure they could get them relatively cheap and, you know, extend the story out to include them somehow. But even still, they wouldn't really even need to. They could just have the
crazy
minister...
preacher let his sample loose.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Think for a minute. Do you suppose an army of guys in plastic suits show up every time a meteor falls?
Shoot him. That's a direct order.
How do you think they got here so quick? How did they even know when to come?
Shoot, damn it, shoot!
I'll tell you how. That meteor is man-made. It's some kind of a germ warfare test they f***ed up.
I love that line.
Awesome. But yeah, they totally have a lot of ways they could go with that. And I would like it so much better. Because the thing is, if they do a reboot, then they're going to have to reintroduce everything, and they're just going to have they're probably just going to do the whole movie over again. Whereas if they did a sequel, they actually have a few different avenues they could go. But I think anymore, most of the people that are familiar with it are not the ones that they're targeting. They're targeting the typical PG-13 crowd who's never even heard of The Blob. So that's another reason why they'd want to do a reboot.
Or they've only heard of it as being some goofy, bad old movie.
Yeah. I heard they have Blobfest in Phoenixville, which I used to live
there. I've heard that there's this movie where like a 40-year-old man plays a 17-year-old. No, he was over 40 when he played Steve McQueen played a 17-year-old in that. Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, he looked good for his age, but he didn't look
But you never bought him for a second as a teenager.
No,
oh,
he was not a teenager. He was like the same age as like the sheriff.
Inevitably, it would be a remake. I think there is potential for a sequel, and it would be an enjoyable movie, but they're not going to make that because, as Cecil pointed out, it's a different generation that's buying tickets.
I don't see why that would throw them off. I don't see why that would preclude a sequel if you made it self-contained enough that you didn't need to see the 88 one. Because really, you could do that relatively easily. You just said it today that the crazy preacher from the end of the 88 one, for whatever reason, didn't release The Blob in 88, but he does in 2015. Or maybe he was storing it, and he's dead, and they find him in the basement in a jar of pure concentrated evil that has a locking mechanism from the inside, all Prince of Darkness style.
That's just Prince of Darkness. You just want the three Prince of Darkness.
I like Prince of Darkness, sorry. Well, then what are some other either threatened or promised sequels we never got? I think in my mind, one of the ones that immediately my brain went to was the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings Two Towers / Return of the King sequel. Bakshi's Lord of the Rings, he had a three-picture deal. His Lord of the Rings essentially covered Fellowship and maybe the first third to first half of Two Towers. Then it was such a financial disaster, they said screw it, and then gave the franchise back to Rankin Bass, who just picked up with Return of the King, therefore leaving the second half of Two Towers essentially unfilmed until Peter Jackson went and CGI'd that up. Essentially, he cartooned it as well. That's the one I think of, is I wonder what Bakshi's sequel would have been.
It would have been the Two Towers.
Yeah, but considering how he mucked with the story in Fellowship, I don't know. I don't know if he would have just done the second half of Two Towers and then done Return for the third picture in his deal, or if he would have tried to mush those together like he did the other one. I don't know. This was drug-addled Bakshi, so we could have gotten something really weird.
I think he would have been faithful enough with it. There might have been some creative liberties, but nothing too outrageous.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember what he did and what he didn't do. I just remember, you know, the art style, because it was that famous
rotoscope.
Yeah, it just, you know, that style that you don't see ever anymore. So I really don't know. I think it would have been cool if he would have been able to do all three. Probably would be a little bit better known, especially with the Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson explosion of a couple years ago. I think a lot of people might have gone back and watched those as well, as opposed to just being able to go back and watch the two of them.
Well, now, you have some sequels that did happen, but they didn't happen. For instance, next year we're getting a movie called Solace, starring Anthony Hopkins and Colin Farrell. With the exception of the characters' names, it's the script that was the sequel to Seven. When Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, and David Fincher all said, "I want nothing to do with this movie," they literally only changed the names. So when Solace comes out next year, it's kind of, sort of, not really a sequel to Seven, but it is. Does that make sense?
It's 8.
That was actually the title. EI number 8 HG. Number eight. I'm not kidding. That was the title when it was a sequel to 7.
No, I know, but it's like, how do you even say E8? Yeah, it's not a word.
Scrophorum is bad enough.
Yeah, scrophorum. Well, at least you can say scrophorum.
Well, I know. I really actually want to see it, because
you want to see the movie that everyone involved in Seven said I want no part of.
Well, no, they didn't. They wanted no part of the concept of a sequel to Seven, not that particular screenplay.
This one is supernatural. A psychic is helping Somerset and Mills, for lack of a better term, catch a serial killer. I would want no part in that if I had been involved in Seven.
There are good psychic helping cops movies, though.
You Look can't at just add supernatural elements to a franchise, for lack of a better term, that's grounded in reality.
Well, they didn't. This isn't the sequel to Seven. This is some other movie called Solace, so it doesn't matter.
I'm curious to see it, because the whole time I watch it, I'm going to be thinking Seven. For me, it's just funny, because I think one of the reasons why they probably wanted nothing to do with this is because after Seven, you think Brad Pitt probably would have quit the force.
If not had charges brought up on him.
Right. Well, I think they, under the duress and all that, I think they would have gone a little bit more lenient on him. I think,
I don't know. Richard Roundtree as the DA made it pretty clear he hated these guys early on in Seven.
Yeah, but I mean, he got his wife's, spoiler, wife's head was in a box.
What's in the box?
Let's get to open the box. So I think that they probably would have gone a little bit more lenient on him. They might have taken his badge from him, but I don't think he would have seen jail time. Or I think he would have, you know, they would have put him in some kind of therapy, and then he would have promptly quit the force. I can't imagine him continuing after that. But anyway, but I'm curious to see the movie. Who knows? Maybe it'll be good, and it'll kind of, you know, because it's its own thing, and maybe it'll end up being a good thing that they wash their hands of it. Because
if Colin Farrell and Anthony Hopkins knew going in that they were the discount Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt.
Well, I don't know if I would call Anthony Hopkins a discount Morgan Freeman. I would say he's pretty, you know, I'm not huge on Colin Farrell. But I think, you know, Anthony Hopkins has kind of earned his stripes. So I don't. And it is kind of odd that they would, you know, it would be really funny if they picked like a Samuel Jackson or something. They got like another black guy in there to do. Then it really would have been the same, you know, the movie that wasn't.
Probably the other one that really fits into that. And I'm being technical here because so many changes were made. But how Big Trouble in Little China is kind of, sort of, almost, maybe not really the sequel to The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. W.D. Richter basically took his Buckaroo Banzai versus the World Crime League sequel that was promised at the end of Buckaroo Banzai, and he essentially rewrote that heavily, from what I understand, into what became Big Trouble in Little China. Strangely enough, you can still see how those two films almost could take place in the same continuity, though, couldn't you? You know, Lo Pan and all them were part of the Crime League and all that, because if you read the original script for Versus World Crime League, they were Asians and they had superpowers, and you go, Big Trouble's kind of sort of a sequel to Buckaroo, isn't it?
Yeah, you could definitely see it in there. I mean, it looks very much like the sequel to Buckaroo Banzai that it was supposed to be. So,
so officially or not, I consider that the sequel to Buckaroo Banzai we never got.
As do I.
I see elements to it, but it doesn't quite have... It has a quirkiness to it, but it doesn't have that same...
I think that's just W.D. Richter's writing style, honestly.
Right, but I'm saying it doesn't have that same vibe. There are two fantastic movies. I have a more of a leanings towards Buckaroo Banzai because I just adore that film and I love Peter Weller. But Big Trouble is just fantastic. And I am kind of glad that it isn't, because that way we get two amazing movies that are, you know, they are their own things rather than, you know, Buckaroo Banzai and then whatever the sequel would have been. I would have liked for there to have been that Buckaroo Banzai sequel that we were promised but we didn't get, but wasn't meant to happen. So,
and then we got another one that kind of sort of got made but not as the sequel. We were promised a Total Recall 2. That script became Minority Report. It was supposed to be Quaid, now a police officer, using Martian clairvoyance to stop murders before they happen. That script was retooled into Minority Report. So in a way, Minority Report is Total Recall 2.
Minority Report was already a Philip K. Dick novel, though.
Vastly different from the movie. I mean, the script that became the movie was the Total Recall 2 script.
Well, that's kind of fitting since it was still based upon a Philip K. Dick novel.
Wow. I'm glad that didn't happen, because Total Recall is one of those movies that I adore, but I don't think that it needed a sequel. There's always that...
I think a sequel would have ruined the ambiguous ending. The whole point Verhoeven made of the ending is you don't know whether this is real and he's lobotomized or not.
Exactly. So yeah, you would have... That does leave that whole question where you're like, holy, you know, is he, you know, on the chair, lobotomized? You don't know. And that was the coolness to it. I think continuing his story, but in a different way, it just wouldn't be as good. It might, you know, sometimes as much as you try not to, it ends up tarnishing the original. Because then, like you said, now there's no doubt, you know, that, you know, this all, it wasn't an implant, you know, it was real. And so that kind of stinks. And Minority Report was cool enough on its own. And
first three quarters were.
I
thought the final act completely fell apart.
Well, that is a recurring theme with Spielberg lately. With a lot of his newer films, they start off strong and then, man, they just blow it at the end.
In a lot of times in movies, we get the promised sequel, not from the studio, but like with The Blob 88 or with Buckaroo Banzai, where they outright say, here is a sequel. But you get the more subtle, it's open for a sequel. Hey, look, there's more adventures. Credits. Cecil, tell us about Super Mario Brothers 2 that we never got, because I know you're just dying to talk about that.
Yay! Well, they left Super Mario 2. There was a close, you know, they closed the story, but then they left it to where Princess Peach came back from Dino World and was telling them that, you know, there was an uprising and she needed Mario and Luigi to come back with her. And they kind of set that up as like a little bit of a cliffhanger sequel. They were hoping that the movie would have been a huge blockbuster and they could have, you know, continued and made a big franchise out of it. And as we all know, the movie didn't do well at all, and it kind of sat in ambiguity for a long time. And now
Bob Hoskins considers it the one film he regrets doing.
Yes, it's like they were asking him what was the worst thing you ever worked on. It was like Super Mario Brothers. What would you go back and not do Super Mario? Like everything was just he hated working on that. Him and John Leguizamo, they would just drink before they started, working on the set. Got to the point where the script was changed so many times, they just stopped reading it and started ad-libbing their lines.
Which you can kind of tell in Dennis Hopper's performance, honestly.
Oh, well, Hopper...
You can tell he's ad-libbing.
But you could tell also that he's having a freaking good time. He's enjoying the hell out of himself.
On the other hand, Lance Henriksen looks miserable.
And he was only in it for like 5 minutes.
Hey, but he totally looks like he does not want to be in this movie.
It's developed a cult following over the years. There's a whole website dedicated to it. They have so many props from it and all kinds of stories about it. They promptly featured my video that I did about it a while ago. I'm actually thinking of kind of doing an update to it because over the years I've learned so much more about the movie than I did.
My friend Hank Carlson built all the Yoshis for that.
Really? They were, dude. The Spielberg's effects guys, a lot of the guys from ILM and whatnot, they went to the set of Super Mario Brothers while they were working on Jurassic Park and were admiring the animatronics that they did with Yoshi. And they actually may have kind of taken some of the ideas from that and used that for Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah,
so.
I've got video of Hank, you know, building the Yoshis. He never got to go to the set because they were shooting Army of Darkness at the same time, and he was the on-set effects coordinator for that. So he just built the Yoshis and then shipped them to Atlanta or wherever the hell they were shooting Mario Brothers. So he never got to set on set, but he did build the Yoshis for that.
Yeah, they were filming at the something or other cement factory. I don't recall, but anyway. They had been pushing in this website. It really took off. It got a lot of exposure, and they managed to get the studio to put together a Blu-ray release of the film with a lot of special features. They got commentary. They didn't get commentary from Jankel and Morton, but they do have an interview with them where they talk about it. I don't remember. I think one of the effects guys is the guy doing the commentary. But they even got John Leguizamo to do a little interview where he talks about how he's kind of come around on the film. Like, he used to hate it, but now that he's a little bit older, he kind of enjoys it. And so he was very nice talking about it. And then there are a bunch of guys who got the script for the proposed sequel, putting it out in comic book form.
I did read about that, yes.
And so they've been working on that for a few months, and it's actually coming together. So that's really cool.
We've been like getting supposedly this years later Breakfast Club reunion kind of movie.
Considering where the careers of most of them ended up, they'd probably all jump at it.
Hey, it's a paycheck. A Last Airbender 2.
You are such a troll.
That movie just totally tells you there's going to be a sequel right at the end. And it was based on something where there was a built-in sequel. But then again, there were all of those Twilight knockoff book series that each got the movie adaptation of the first book in the series. Martha put down Nightmare Before Christmas 2.
Was that actually promised or not? From everything I've read about that one, it was, it never got past the wouldn't it be cool if we did this stage.
And there was a Godfather 4 in production for a while, like 99 to 2000, that never got picked up. It was all over the place. DiCaprio was supposed to be a part of it and everything.
I would say arguably one of the most famous ones we never got, and I don't know if this is good or bad, was Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian.
They're still promising us a Beetlejuice 2, though.
Yeah, but yeah. I doubt it's going to be Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. I really do. But some of these are coming out now. They are threatening twins too, triplets. Now they find out that Eddie Murphy is their long-lost twin because f*** logic, right?
And it's part of the Daddy Day Camp.
I really much was looking forward to, and I hope they still could make it happen, Power of Six, which was the follow-up to I Am Number 4. Really, really wanted Priest 2, but that's not happening, unfortunately. Remo Williams was the one that I knew that me and you would agree on. Remo Williams, The Adventure Continues.
But that one technically got a sequel in the TV movie, Remo Williams.
Yeah, but I don't...
So that one technically, the sequel did happen.
Was it Fred again, or...?
No, it wasn't Fred, but it followed the events of the first film, so it is a sequel. It was just a TV movie.
It was a TV movie. Okay.
We did get a
sequel. Was it any good?
I haven't seen it since the 90s, but...
All right, I'll have to see if I can track it down.
I've got it. Of course I do.
Of course you do. Well, give it to me. And, of course, Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2. Would have loved for that to have come out, but instead... We got the cartoon.
Yeah, because that cartoon was vilely bad. That cartoon was vile.
Mel Brooks was part of the voice cast on the cartoon.
He was, but I don't think he had...
He was also the executive producer. That's what makes me think that his Spaceballs sequel would have been terrible. That Spaceballs cartoon makes Family Guy look subtle and funny.
Well, here's the thing.
That's how bad Spaceballs was.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking though. It's like I wanted Spaceballs 2 or sorry, Spaceballs 3 and Spaceballs 2. You know what? 20 years ago, when it should have come out. Because that's the thing. Now the landscape has changed so much that that's what we ended up getting. But I think that if we would have gotten it way back when, we would have gotten something more in line with the first movie.
Well, and then there's the, and I brought this up many times before, when Joe Dante and National Lampoon were going to make Jaws 3 People Zero, a Naked Gun style comedy about the making of Jaws 3 at Universal, where the cast and crew constantly keep getting killed because a shark pops out of any body of water, including a cup and a toilets. The script was funny. Having National Lampoon, this is 1982 here, so they hadn't devolved into what they would become later. Tim Matheson hadn't ruined the brand yet. Joe Dante was just on the rise. He hadn't even done Gremlins yet. Jaws 3 People Zero is one of my biggest laments for this could have been fantastic.
Yeah, every time I hear about that, oh man, that just sounds phenomenal. That would have been so good. But instead, we got the
Jaws
3. Jaws
3.
Well, Jaws 3 I thought was okay. It's Jaws 4 is when it really turns into a complete crap hole. Jaws 3 at least had some cool moments. 4 was just a comedy.
You also have other sequels. Horror movies are famous for... I mean, nowadays you do get a lot of sequels, but horror movies, not necessarily the slasher boom, but the slashers did this a lot, where you've got the one last moment. Everybody's happy, the camera pans away, and then the monster's eyes open, or the hand comes up from the grave, or whatnot. Is it probably better that a lot of those never did get a sequel?
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone that didn't get a sequel would have had a horrible sequel. I'm covering all of them, because all of them.
Yeah, I'm with Alex to a certain degree. You know, I think that there are so many of them where they were just crap holes, and they're like, you know, we'll end with one big last scare, and it's the
it
big
worked
last
in Carrie,
scare.
It worked in Friday the 13th,
and it hasn't worked since because everybody sees it coming a mile away. You know, I think the only time that I can think of off the top of my head where a more recent film did a something like that where it absolutely positively worked was the ending of the first Final Destination, where I thought that was like that's a good big final scare that you did not see coming. You know, it wasn't the hand coming out of the grave, it was just a freaking sign bashing into Kurt Smith.
But they still use that technique. Battleship, that's what, 2 years ago now, still ends with that. Doesn't pay off as much as I think they want it to. Why do they still do that? Why do they still sequel bait in such an obvious manner, set, you know, Mario Brothers 2 style, absolutely setting up a sequel that never comes?
Because what if it does make the money?
And usually it doesn't.
I don't mind. Like, I think I get annoyed by the fact that they continue to do the same thing to set it up. I don't mind it as much that at least if there's a finality, at least if the story ends and then they tack on a little something to kind of continue it, I'm fine with that. But I am not fine with ones where they can't film the entire story. So they only film like that first chunk of it, and then they end it on a cliffhanger, and then they don't make enough money, so they can't make the sequel. So we never get any goddamn closure. That's when I get angry.
Well, then how about when a movie is based on a book series and they only make, say, one movie, but there's three or four more books? Do those qualify as the sequels that the movies never got? Let's leave out the fact that usually a lot has changed between the source material and the movie. Can you just go and read the books then to find out what would have happened next?
Kind of. Remember Interview with the Vampire? Part one of the Vampire Chronicles. And they never made part two until
like. But
they
did make Queen of the Damned,
which was the third book.
Which was a terrible film too.
I don't know if it's just been like hopeful fans or actual promises that we're supposed to get some Vampire Lestat movie. But considering how bad Queen of the Damned is,
Interview with a Vampire was awful too. I don't know why people look at that with such rose-colored glasses. It's a terrible movie.
Not bad. I liked it, but like I went and read the books and I'm not a fan of Anne Rice at all.
No, not in the least. I cannot stand her tepid writing.
So in some cases, you can read the book. If the book is actually as good as the movie was, chances are it's going to be f***ing Anne Rice crap.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of beneficial in a way, because it's like, all right, well, if the first movie comes out, like maybe you never even heard of the books and you saw the first movie and really enjoyed it, but they didn't make enough money, so they're not going to make any more. You at least can go and then read the books to get the continuation that you never got in film.
Because
so,
like the one I'm thinking of is like Gump and Company.
Oh, I heard that was terrible, though.
Okay, I'm not talking about the quality, but everyone that bitches we never got a Forrest Gump sequel, you did, just not a movie.
Got it in book form.
Well, then what about when it comes to TV? Because in a lot of cases, you've got a movie, and then they keep the movie in continuity when they make the TV series. So, for instance, like Stargate. Is Stargate SG-1 the sequel to Stargate? That Devlin and Emmerich wanted to make a Stargate 2, but MGM went ahead with the TV series instead. So is that the sequel, or do you consider the TV series, when it keeps the movie in continuity, as something other than the sequel you never got?
I consider if it's a in continuity TV series to definitely be a sequel. I consider the Stargate series is to be in continuity with the Stargate movie.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think that if it's in continuity, it's a sequel. It's just that you're getting a really long sequel. They Sci-Fi picked up the rights to Legion, and they released the series as Dominion. And it picks up right after the first movie, and it continues. And I've seen, you know, the whole first season, and I thought it was pretty freaking good. And I'm hoping that they get picked up for another one. So I think it's kind of cool in that way, because especially if you have a movie that they had a lot of ideas, but it was crammed into 2 hours, like you can stretch a lot of that out longer over, you know, 12 episodes or something. So I think that if they're willing to give it the right budget and, you know, put it on the right channel, that's not going to cancel it 2 episodes in, then I think that that's awesome.
Well, then, now what about writing off sequels that actually do happen as having not happened? For instance, Exorcist 3. William Peter Blatty outright says Exorcist 2 never happened. Exorcist 3, which he had just wanted to call Legion, is the sequel to the first Exorcist, and that's it. Or like what they do with the Godzilla films every now and then. Yeah, the last 13 movies didn't happen. Godzilla 1985 is a sequel only to this. What about when you get sequels that they go, yeah, those were mistakes?
Superman Returns?
Yes, well, Superman Returns was a mistake in and of itself. But yes, yeah. it did do that.
It put 3 and 4 out of continuity.
As it should have, but it was a terrible movie.
Still a terrible movie, but I appreciated that it tried to do that. If it's done right, I've got no problem with it. Problem is, it's rarely done right.
You know what? If they want to say, hey, this never happened, fine, whatever. I mean, that's their prerogative, but I mean, the movies still exist. I'm with Alex where I thought that it was a good idea for them to say that Superman 3 and 4 didn't happen and just gloss over them and go to Returns. Unfortunately, Returns ended up being a mess. And, you know, but they had their heart in the right place. It's just they ended up making a crappy movie. But sometimes do have to skip over theirs. They skipped over the Universal Soldier ones, where they went from there was Universal Soldier.
Didn't it knock 2, 3, and 4 out of continuity when Van Damme and Lundgren came back?
Yeah, because what happened was some other studio managed to get the rights, and they made these really awful Universal Soldier movies. They kind of, once the studio got the rights back, they were like, okay, those movies didn't happen. And then they made Universal Soldier, I think it was The Return?
The Return, yeah.
And that was the one with Michael Jai White. And then after that was when Lundgren came back. And so it was, so basically, I think there was 2 or 3 of them in there that like don't exist. But that's kind of a different thing altogether. That's like where, you know, you get some studio politics, and there were other movies that obviously were sequels in name only.
Let's look at the Exorcist franchise then. What do you consider something like The Ninth Configuration? Is that being a sidequel, that takes place in the continuity of the first and third movies, since, you know, Blatty himself knocked two out. Is that an Exorcist sequel or not?
I've never seen it, so I can't comment on it.
Okay, remember in the first movie when Linda Blair pees all over the floor and she goes up to that astronaut at the party and says, "You're going to die up there?"
You're going to die up there.
The ninth configuration is about that astronaut going crazy and his life in a mental institution. So it's a sidequel that Blatty specifically wrote to take place in the Exorcist continuity.
So it's in the same universe.
Right. So, but is the ninth configuration then a sequel to The Exorcist?
No, I wouldn't say it's a sequel. It just takes place in the same universe.
Like what they're trying to do with The Expendables, you know, The Expendables, which is both a great and awful name. So, yeah, spinoffs are kind of sequels.
Okay, how about when the sequels still happen, but ideas are abandoned? For instance, Friday the 13th Part 4's ending. And they say it right on the commentary track. This was meant to be Tommy taking over as Jason. And then when they went to make Part 5, they went, no, we don't like that idea. What about when you don't get the sequels that you were kind of set up for because they just decided we want to go in a different direction?
In case of the Friday the 13th, I'm glad they didn't, that they decided to keep it on Jason, because I don't know. It wouldn't feel the same. And it might have ended the franchise right there with Tommy.
It was the final chapter.
It was the final chapter, but the thing was that, you know, would have made Jason human. And yes, I know they already switched killers, because originally it was Mrs. Voorhees, and then it was Jason. But I don't know, changing it again after Jason had become such an established character, I kind of am glad they went in the direction that they did.
Oh, they not only alluded it to the end of 4, they did it again at the end of 5.
Yeah, it seemed like they really wanted to go this direction, but then every time they went there, they got cold feet and went, no, just go back to the formula.
I'm glad they didn't. It would have been interesting to see it fail, because it would have failed. It would have been a glorious failure. There would have just been 5 of those movies. That's it. We wouldn't have Manhattan or anything.
Well, now, let's switch gears a little bit. What about when a TV series is canceled on a huge cliffhanger? We never get the resolution that we were promised. What are some examples you have of a TV series that was canceled that pissed you off because it wasn't resolved?
Well, the first one that always comes to mind is Odyssey 5. We were supposed to get 4 more seasons. They set up this really cool...
They even promised us a TV movie after it was canceled. We promise we'll finish the story. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It didn't happen. You jackasses. So that infuriated me when they killed Wanted. Oh, that infuriated me.
Wanted ended on such a huge cliffhanger with the reveal of the traitor?
Yes. I was so mad. And then we got like 15 more seasons of that awful Kevin Bacon's wife TV show that I can't remember the name of. That I hated. The Closer.
The Closer with Kira Sedgwick. I've never liked Kira Sedgwick.
But the thing with that show was, like, Wanted was such a cool, inventive, good show. And The Closer was every freaking cop drama show, every CSI. It was every formulaic
piece
of garbage. It was like you could always tell exactly, all right, this is going to happen. It was such a piece of crap. But yeah, that infuriated me. I was mad at the end of V, because that ended on the original V. The TV series ended on a big cliffhanger where they were going back to the home planet. I wanted more, and that ended. I know there's more that ended on big cliffhangers, but I'm blanking out. But those are the major ones that always come right to my head.
Well, there's the way Alf ended, which I didn't much care for because I hated Alf as it was. And yes,
there was a TV movie that followed that, though.
Yeah, long after the fact.
Still, it did get closure.
There was that show Out of This World that I used to watch all the time that just ended on a cliffhanger.
I love that show.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
And it was like, her dad's coming back, and look, here he is, to be continued, never resolved.
Probably the most frustrating one in recent years to me was Jericho. I thought Jericho's first season was all right. it get too bogged down in love triangle crap, and I despise love triangle stories. I think whenever you introduce a love triangle into a TV show or a movie, you're a bad writer, because that is the most trite, tepid shit you can ever do. So when they had like a good 8-episode arc with that goddamn love triangle, I almost quit the show. But then it picked up right at the end of the first season, and then the second season was fantastic and ended on a huge cliffhanger with them knowing that the U.S. government staged attacks on its own country in an attempted coup and having the evidence, and then going to rescue their friends and prove what they knew. Never picked up again. I went, fucking God damn it!
That second season wasn't supposed to happen anyway. I mean, so, you know, the fans fought. So that makes it even worse.
How goddamn good it was.
Yeah.
Didn't that ending frustrate the shit out of you?
Yeah, well, I mean, being a serious post-apocalyptic drama on major network was a shock to begin with, and the fact that it was done so well and that it lasted two seasons, that was great. And I would have loved for them to have continued that, but no, we get
another season of 2.5 men.
And then they fire Charlie Sheen and bring in Ashton Kutcher. So they fire one guy who I don't like and bring in a guy I like even less. So as if I needed another reason to not watch that show. But no, I was thinking of, what's that show right now? Is Revolution still on?
Who cares?
But what I'm saying is that I know that that's gone on longer than Jericho, and I made it about 2.5 episodes into Revolution. You know it's bad if there's a post-apocalyptic show and I tap out.
I gave up on the pilot of Revolution. When the EMP goes off and they lose power, the plane in the sky just drops like a rock. I go, physics says fuck you. That's not how that works. Is that kind of the same thing as what they would do with promising us Masters of the Universe 2 or setting up Super Mario Brothers 2? Is that arrogance, or is that, let's hope that if we set this thing up, the network won't cancel us because arrogantly we think they care about what the viewers want?
I think some are arrogant, but I think most of it's just hopefulness. And there are the fans that are dedicated, and they're like, feel let down. And those are the ones that they were making the third or whatever the next season would have been for anyway.
Don't you think they should go for like how Stargate Universe ended, with an ambiguous ending that could be taken as a series finale, but also leaves enough plot lines open that you can continue it if something happens? Shouldn't that be the way you do it, instead of nope, everybody's life is in peril, and you don't get any closure because the network pulled the plug?
Oh, we'll see. Stargate Universe knew their plug was pulled, so their ending was intentional.
No, it wasn't. That was actually just the season finale. It was just... Yeah, the way it was written was ambiguous enough that it acted as both, because they weren't told they were canceled till after they shot that episode.
Huh.
So that just happened to be kind of a happy, this is both a series finale and a season finale, and it's kind of satisfying as either.
But then you do want the cliffhanger season finale, though, because that's going to leave people in suspense and really eager to see the next season. So you do want that finale. You might not get the next season. So it's a gamble. There's really no right answer to that.
We're getting all these sequels that we're not getting all these sequels that we were promised. What about getting sequels nobody wanted? 8mm 2, Dirty Dancing 2, all the witchcraft. They're making a Witchcraft 14, The Children of the Corn 9 or whatever the hell it was recently, Creepshow 3, etc. Why do they keep making sequels no one wants, but they won't make the sequels everyone's asking for?
Well, I know why they're making the sequels no one wants, because first of all, they're not actually making those sequels. They're retitling another project, you know, another movie that was already made, or a script they got that they can just change a few words to give it a more recognizable title. It'll sell a few more copies. That's just the way they're marketing it, because 8mm 2 had nothing at all to do with 8mm and was never supposed to be 8mm.
And it was about videotape, which kind of belies even the 8mm title.
why aren't they making the sequels that we do want? Well, the people that do want them are not as wide a demographic as the people that want other stuff.
But they're making the ones we don't want. Are you saying the people who want the sequels we've been promised for decades is a smaller demographic than the people who don't give a shit?
Because it's cheaper to do that. It's cheaper to just make this, you know, direct-to-video fake sequel to a recognizable name. That's cheap and easy to do. Do you want the sequels to the movies you like here to be all those?
Yeah, I'm with Alex. The thing is, the reason why they keep making these, you know, the sequels that nobody wanted is because somebody wants them. All those
No one was asking for Dirty Dancing 2 22 years after the fact.
Right, but what I mean is that they cost very little, and they are the filler. They are the, hey, we've got $2 million, and we need to make a movie. And hey, look, we have the rights to Dirty Dancing, so let's make a sequel to Dirty Dancing, and then that will maximize our profiteering, because you'll get a lot of people that are like, oh, there's a sequel to Dirty Dancing. And then they'll be like, wait, why doesn't it have Patrick Swayze, and why does this have nothing to do with the original Dirty Dancing?
Patrick Swayze's death.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. People are dumb. So they keep making a lot of these movies because they don't cost a lot of money. And I'm sure the return on investment is huge. Now, the movies that you and I and everybody else, the sequels that we really want are the gambles. We want Dread 2, but Dread 2 is going to cost at
Just
least...
Just today, I signed the petition to get Dread 2. I want that.
I've signed it too, and everybody wants it, even...
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, thank you. I am blanking tonight. Even Carl Urban was like, yes, I want to make Dread 2.
In all honesty, maybe right on the same level as Dread 2, the one I want, and I don't know, obviously they'd change the title for the movie, I want This Book is Full of Spiders made into a movie, the sequel to John Dies at the End. Most likely this movie is full of spiders.
I know that's in the works. I don't know. It's going to take
a while. The last I read, they can't secure the financing. So while it's in the works, it may not happen.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they're going to... I mean, look at how long it took for them to get John Dies at the End to get together. So I think that they are fastidious enough, and we'll keep tweaking at it. And eventually, I think it'll happen. But it might just be a few years. Which I... You know what? Much like a good steak... You know, I am willing to wait. I am willing to, you know, let it cook until it's ready. And then, you know, I'd rather them take their time and do it right than secure financing with someone who doesn't really believe in the product, meddles with it too much, and then we get a complete piece of shit. I'd rather.
Hey, Cecil?
Yes.
I just read that they signed David DeCoto to write and direct it. He'll shoot it in that house of his.
And he'll have a talking spider.
Yes. Are you going to try and tell me that people actually wanted A Christmas Story too? That there was an audience for this? Because I remember when it was first announced, you were among the people that were like, screw this movie on principle.
Yeah. Nobody wanted it. It's not that good either.
Even the people working on it didn't want it.
You can kind of tell. My thought is, Hollywood, when it comes to sequels, they don't seem to give us what we want. They give us not even what they think we want. They give us what they want us to want. And that's a very deadly formula. I mean, yes, we do avoid things like Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, which, from everything I've read, screamed disaster. We also avoided the Kevin Smith, Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton Superman, which, while it would have been fascinating on sort of a disgusting level, would have been a bigger mistake than Superman 4 or Man of Steel.
Oh, you shush.
Well, you know, as much fun as it would be to actually get those sequels, I'm kind of glad we didn't, because they would suck if they came out now. The studio system in Hollywood is so in its different age, it would fuck them up so bad that I'm best remembering the sequel that could have been rather than the one that they would give us now.
The thing that gets me about the studio system is, whereas we always complain because, you know, we get the movie, we don't get the movie that we want. We get the movie that the studio wants us to want. No matter how many people bitched about the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles before it came out, and Michael Bay was like, you know what? You're going to bitch about it and you're still going to go see it. And you know what? He proved that he was right. As much as people complained and as much as people, you know, stamped their feet and said that I don't want this movie, it was number one at the box office, and it's already a guaranteed lock that they're making a sequel. So as much as it sucks, I think a lot of times the studios end up failing or succeeding in spite of themselves, and their arrogance just works. I mean, I was done with the Transformers movies, not to keep going on Michael Bay, but I was done with the Transformers movies after I saw the first one, and they're now getting ready to work on a fifth one. So apparently, what do I know?
One of the best quotes I've ever heard: Hollywood is the only profession where you can fail upwards. So the sequel to Alex Jowski is where?
At geekjuicemedia.com.
The sequel no one wanted from Cecil T. Robot is where?
At goodbadflix.com as well as geekjuicemedia.com.
And the sequel that everyone did want but nobody made is at 1201beyond.com. You can contact that sequel, that unmade sequel, at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys. And remember, don't support bad sequels. Just support bad sequels that didn't get... Oh, shut up.
Yeah, what are you talking about? See the writing on the wall. A lonely heart in isolation. Reaching out to break my fall. My emotions are wide open. Step into the...
Radio Drone is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.